The views and opinions of the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the Dennis Daniel Show, the Altitude Explosion Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, or its affiliates.
This is the Dennis Effect, where two old lefties make a right turn with commentary on the world, national, and local happenings of today.
And from the Gold Circle Studios, you've got the Dennis Effect Podcast. I'm Doc.
I'm Slappy Whitey.
And I'm 3D the Producer.
Yeah, hey, we're back. We were on a little bit of a hiatus. I know Slappy, you were having a little bit of health issues there. How's everything going?
Well, I can see 4 miles and miles. Now, I've been having some eye work done, you know, and it's getting better all the time with a little help from my friends.
Yeah, well, it's kind of important that you can see the microphone.
Yeah, I'm like cliche-ish today, so forgive me.
Yeah, so man, so what? There's a lot that's happened since we've been gone, but you know, what's the but the number one thing right now is
Corona news.
The news.
My Corona.
Yeah, okay. My Corona.
Yeah, well, as of March 12th, 46 states, over 1,600 cases, 40 dead. But, you know, 80% of the people that get this stuff have mild symptoms and they recover pretty quick.
Right.
But it's the 20% that have underlying issues, especially the elderly, especially our group, 60 to whatever, 100.
And those with compromised immune systems.
Yes. So they don't have enough data yet to really make some really firm assessments. But they're getting there and the testing starting up. And Donald Trump's taking the drastic measures, blocking travel and... And they're ramping it up in the private sector with the testing and things like that and stuff. But, you know, Disney, concerts, sports, parades, et cetera, all been canceled. Celebrities, sports figures, politicians have tested positive, you know.
Yeah, who was the one for basketball player for Milwaukee or whoever that was licking all over the microphone the other day and then a couple of days later tested positive?
Oh, I don't know who that
was.
I got to try to
remember that name, but he was... Yeah, he was kind of up for ridicule here the last couple of days.
But it's not really hard on children, but kids can carry it and give it to you.
Right.
The older population is at the highest risk. China and Italy have had a lot of fatalities because they are the two oldest populations on the planet, believe it or not. I would have never thought that about Italy, so there must be a lot of elderly in Italy.
Well, that and China has invested a lot of money and stuff into Italy. And the Chinese tourists go there. They visit Italy quite a bit, so they have a big influx of that. So that's possibility where it might have gotten started that way.
But all kind of conspiracy theories about is it a lab thing? They're actually starting to think maybe it came out of a lab in China. So there's got a lot of theories about what's going on, but in time we'll get a clearer picture on it. But wash your hands and. Try to keep distance and
keep grandma out of the club.
Yeah, keep grandma out of the club. That's right, man.
Yeah, but the thing I was, you kind of go back, to 2009, 2010 to the swine flu or the H1N1, or we call it the Heine virus.
Yeah, the Heine virus.
Didn't really have, they had, by the time it was over, a little under 13,000 Americans died from it.
Yeah, you got people dying a lot from the flu. A lot more people dying. It affects little kids hard and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line, this one is new and it's unknown, and they're trying to get to the they got to get more clinical data in, and then they'll get a clearer picture about how to deal with it. You got the pandemics of the 1300 and the Spanish flu of 1918. So it's not like we haven't been here before, and we'll be here again.
Right. But it's just you don't need state run media. Hyping it up, putting people in a panic. Because that's exactly what happened this
time. So my girlfriend told me today, I just heard from a reliable source that Ohio has 100,000 cases. And I said, no, that's not true. And then I saw later DeWine, that dip, said, well, we could get as many as 100,000 cases.
Right.
Don't say stuff like that.
Yeah,
because people that misread and mishear are now going to run out and say, we have 100,000 cases in Ohio. Well, that's not true.
But
the stock market's been affected.
Yeah, well, the stock market, now stock market kind of had a double whammy this week. It was kind of a little bit of coronavirus, but it was also this oil war that's going on between the Saudis and the Russians. You know, the Prince of Saudi Arabia, the Mohammed bin Salman, or Salmon, whatever you want to call him, he's kind of, you know, pretty much making a power play and trying to take over. Well, he was trying to make a deal with the Russians, and the Russians said, "Nyet, we ain't doing that." So he just opened the spigots, basically, and just flooded it, the market, with oil, which is why then the price of oil has dropped to almost, you know, half of its
That's why I'm getting gas for $1.98.
And it's probably going to go even lower before it's all said and done. But, I mean, that's...
But, you know, one thing, the downside of that $1.98 gas, that's hurting American oil producers.
Right.
Because they're being undercut
by
this.
You can't frack it. You can't frack it for that kind of money.
Yeah, right.
But things will kind of, they'll kind of level out.
Once the virus runs, kind of gets past it, everything will kind of go back up.
Yeah, and the summer season, summer driving season's coming up, so.
I think by June 1st, that's my prediction, by June 1st, this thing would have started running its course to the point where things are starting to climb back up, the stock market, confidence, things like that and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Donald will have 4 or 5 months for everything to get back to normal.
Right. But, hey, you know, there were some kind of stories coming out of this corona thing. You remember Jim Baker?
Yeah.
He was, you know, the
televangelist. The evangelist that went to jail.
Yeah, for defrauding.
Selling too many hotel reservations at the Heritage Foundation resort.
He was defrauding customers and defrocking women. Yeah. But he's apparently, I didn't know this, he's got a show on cable TV. I don't know if it's New York local channel, Jim Baker.
I've seen it.
Was it? It's
a religious show.
The Jim Baker Show. Well, apparently he was hawking something he's called a silver solution, which was a medication made from silver that supposedly cured all kinds of ailments for use in treating COVID-19.
Yeah, he could cure coronavirus.
So he got a two state attorney generals and the FDA is like giving him a cease and desist.
He's going to go back to jail, that dummy.
Because when he was on his show, he asked a guest on his show if the gel could cure the coronavirus. And he goes, his guest says, "It hasn't been tested on this strain of coronavirus, but it's been tested on other strains of the coronavirus and has been able to eliminate it within 12 hours, said naturopathic doctor Cheryl Selman. What is the heck is a naturopathic doctor? You know, what is?
She's on his payroll. That's what she is.
Yeah. And then in Lithuania, there was a man with a little help from his sons, reportedly locked his wife in the bathroom after she came back from Italy, worried that she was exposed to COVID-19 because she had been in contact with some Chinese people. And the husband called a doctor who suggested she isolate herself, but then she called police because her husband wouldn't let her out. And it turns out she didn't have it after all. Went all through that for nothing, you know?
Mama mia.
Yeah.
We're talking about capitalizing on a tragedy or a bad stuff. How about them Dems?
How about them Dems?
You know, Governor Cuomo of New York didn't waste no time. They were running low on sanitizers, so he started making the prisoners at Rikers Island make hand sanitizers. So now they got their own New York State hand sanitizer. So Cuomo never missed an opportunity.
Hey, it's like Chinese, made with the finest prison labor.
And Pelosi and Schumer grinning and jumping Donald Trump about the virus when they ain't got no ideas. And Biden copied Trump's speech almost verbatim. Everything Donald Trump is doing, Biden said he's going to do. New York and West Coast, the hotbeds of the liberals, that's getting hit the most and the hardest right now.
Yeah, Democrats. And Washington State, run by a Democrat.
Right.
That's where most of it is.
But you notice out there in California, Governor Newsom has said everything that he has asked Donald Trump for, Trump has jumped.
I mean, talking nice. I'm thinking, man, that ain't going to... Any of your base is going to be jumping all over you for that.
Pelosi will have him assassinated.
Yeah.
But the Dems got that primary thing, man. Looks like Bernie and Joe, Sleepy Joe, commie and the sleepy one are going to go at it head to head.
And I, for one, am kind of bummed out because I really wanted to, you know, some of the players to hang in there a little longer so that we could have some theme music for, like, you know, Elizabeth Warren was going to go Cher's half-breed. Buttigieg was going to Jim Stafford's My Girl Bill. Amy Klobuchar was going to do Redbone's Witch Queen of New Orleans.
Oh my!
because she's kind of a voodoo lady. You kind of look at her.
No, the voodoo lady is Cortez.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Uncle Joe Biden. You could do, you know, Hey Joe,
where are you going with that Alzheimer in your hand?
Yeah, right. I mean, there was, you know, but they were like, it was gonna be like gold, and they dropped out like. I mean, it dropped down like the coronavirus. Like, well, they had
Cortez threw her hat in there with Sanders, and Klobuchar threw hers in with Biden. So I think them two chicks are kind of trying to get a VP spot.
I'll put my money on the witch queen.
Oh, I don't know. But,
how about this? That, you know, Bugsy Schumer.
Oh,
man. You know, basically threatening Supreme Court justices.
Yeah.
You know, saying if they didn't vote.
And he was standing out in front of the Supreme Court building, man, talking that crap.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know, and then he tried to backtrack it. So he's probably one person who's glad that this.
If Donald Trump said what he said about anybody, it could have been the garbage collector, and they would all went nuts.
Yeah, cause I'm thinking that kind of borders on jury tampering. You know, trying to influence the judge's decisions.
Intimidate.
Yeah, there's something there that I don't think is legal.
But you know, are you done with the Dem Demis?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with
them. The other half of the Democratic Party, the news media, CNN and MSNBC, they're attacking the Trump administration, okay, and then calling Donald Trump dumb. Basically, all they're calling Donald Trump dumb. But then Brian Williams, one of the talking heads on the MSNBC, said that mini Mike Bloomberg should take the $500 million he's wasted on the presidential campaign and give every American $1 million. I'm like, okay, Brian, where's your calculator, bro? That's comes out to about $1.50 each.
Right.
So send me my $1.50 check.
It would have been like $500 trillion or something like that.
Well, in his defense, he did leave his calculator when he was doing, when he was up close doing coverage of the war in Iraq.
No, the thing is, the news girl that was interviewing him and stuff, when he said that, she went right along with it. She's just as dumb as he is.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, there's 350, 60 million people in America, $500 million. That does not mean 360 million people get $1 million. Who did his math? I failed ninth grade algebra, and I can do better math than that.
Right. But, you know, but they call President Trump dumb, but, you know, they kind of bagged on him for not doing anything in the coronavirus, but. If you realize, going back to the swine flu, the World Health Organization in April of 2010 declared it a pandemic. Obama didn't declare it a public emergency until almost October, 6 months later.
At least a thousand people had died.
You didn't hear a word about that because they were trying to pass. They were trying to get Obamacare through at
that
time.
They looked for anything to attack. I don't care what. He could cure coronavirus tomorrow.
Yeah,
they'd still be ragging on the guy.
Yeah.
Now, what about CNN's? And MSNBC and The View and The Real, their boy Avenatti goes down for three counts in the Nike trial, and his legal problems ain't over. Okay? Right. But CNN, MSNBC, The View, they all loved him. That Joey Behar, the dumbest woman on the planet, said he should be the president. Dumbo Cuomo, he was just, I thought he was going to lean over there and kiss him. I don't know. They make me sick. And now they don't know him.
Yeah, looks like his time in the slammer could be Stormy.
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm sure Stormy likes that.
Yeah. But but you know, the thing is, we're gonna keep hearing from these ding dongs. So yeah, they'll just keep entertaining us. You know,
CNN will sleep with any devil. And I don't care who it is, if people say something bad about Donald Trump, CNN will put them on TV.
Oh, it's like the running joke. CNN has signed so many agreements with the devil. Devil's got carpal tunnel syndrome.
Oh my God, you better believe it.
Yeah. Well, Slappy, I got to tell you, I think we here as a society, I think we've reached our cultural zeitgeist. You know, for those folks,
can you spell that?
Zeitgeist is the defining moment of a particular time or place in history.
Okay.
We had it this week.
Brilliant.
Yeah, there's a show on Fox called The Masked Singer.
Yes, I've seen it.
Yeah, where people come in masks.
It's a little bit too busy and noisy for me.
Yeah, but they kind of come out and think, you know, you got Nick Cannon doing this, and they kind of, you know, come out and they got these masks or all these costumes, and the idea is the the last person, whoever has the, at the end of the show, excuse me, they take a vote on Twitter or something. It's pre-recorded. I'm not sure how they do that.
Right.
But whoever has the least amount of votes loses and has to be unmasked.
Yes.
So the one this week was a bear who came out and sang Baby Got Back.
Baby Got Back.
You know, Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I love that.
Yeah, you know, stuff you every time you hear at the wedding, you know, you got to hear. So, it was, you could tell it was a female voice, you know. It was like,
you know what Sir Mix-a-Lot said? If you want to have some fun, hon, you got to have bun, hon.
Yeah. So anyway, so they go to unmask her, you know. So but the panelists have to try to guess who it is.
Right.
And pretty much all the money was on Tina Fey. They got clues and stuff they get.
Right.
So they were all on Tina Fey. So they go to pull the mask off, but they had her turn around. And they put glasses on her. Turns around, it was Sarah Palin.
But Sarah and Tina Fey resemble each other.
Right, because Tina Fey kind of did the Sarah Palin. Yeah, but yeah. I'm thinking, Sarah Palin doing Baby Got Back?
Damn.
It's kind of like, yeah, we're kind of like...
So how did the crowd in the
they all just react? They all went berserk. It was like they were going to tear up the stage. I mean, they weren't angry. I mean, they were cheering her and complimenting her.
Sarah Palin trying to get back in the camera, man.
Yeah.
Get back
in the camera. I mean, they were all actually real nice to her, which wasn't quite the case in 2008.
No.
You know, but you know, they could top it off.
When she could see Russia from her back porch.
Yeah. I mean, you could see. You know, you could just see. You know. Would say that McCain would be spinning in his grave.
But, you know, Sarah Palin's family and stuff, they're like a reality TV show, man.
Yeah.
All the crazy stuff.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are kind of walking. But
oh, yeah, the whole bunch.
Yeah.
She's had to call. Since she ran for president, vice president, she's had to call the cops on her relatives and from the daughter acting up. Son-in-law, whatever. All kind of crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, but you can just imagine McCain kind of doing the worm in his grave right now. Not what he's spinning, but he was kind of the worm or the water spigot.
Hey, man, not to change the subject, but I will.
Oh, please do.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
You know, our dear Kobe and his beautiful daughter and those other beautiful people.
Yeah, the seven other people.
Went down in that helicopter crash. But, you know, there's a pretty long history of sports figures going down in aircraft crashes.
Yeah, do tell.
2017, Philly pitcher Roy Halladay.
Last person to throw a no-hitter in a playoff.
Small plane crash. Newt Rockne, the famous Notre Dame coach. Small plane crash in 1931. The great Roberto Clemente. I loved that guy.
Yeah, he was. He was
1972,
sweet.
Pirate outfielder.
Yeah.
Small plane crash on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, running a humanitarian mission.
Delivering
for
humanitarian aid to people, yes.
Yeah.
What a great player and a good man. Yankee catcher, one of the most underrated catchers of all time, Thurman Munson. 1979, small plane crash.
Yeah, he was, you know, because he was, you know, in the shadow
of Bench.
He was
in the shadow of Johnny Bench. That's right, man. But he was good.
Yes, he was.
Heavyweight champion Rocky Marciano, 1969. Retired 49-0.
Possibly the greatest.
The greatest heavyweight, if you look at, never got beat.
Yeah, never got
even
beat.
Even the great Joe Louis lost.
And got out when it was time, you know. But, didn't hang in there too long.
But a small plane crash.
Yeah.
You notice the theme here? Kenny Hubbs, rookie Cub. I think he was a third baseman. I remember that
guy. He was rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year.
I mean, he had the bright future ahead of him.
Great future.
1964,
small plane crash.
Yeah.
Marshall football team, 37 members of the team died in a charter plane wreck in 1970. Wichita State football team, 14 killed in a charter airplane crash in 1970. Okay, golfer Payne Stewart, 1999, in a Learjet crash.
The Learjet that just kept going. The oxygen.
Everybody passed out.
Yeah, window cracked out. They lost air their pressure, pressurized in the cabin, and they just basically just died.
Well, those folks really didn't know what hit them.
And the automatic pilot just flew it for 3 hours or so until it finally crashed in South Dakota. Because they thought they were going to have to shoot it down. They were afraid.
Right,
it was gonna,
I remember that.
That it was going to crash in a populated area.
Right. Now you got Davey Allison, NASCAR driver, 1993, died in a helicopter crash.
Yeah, great driver, one of the Allisons.
Corey Lytle, A's pitcher.
Former Red.
Former Red, 2006, small plane crash.
And he crashed in, that one's a strange one because he was flying.
He flew into the side of a building.
In New York City, where right into that was restricted airspace, especially after 2000, after 9/11. He couldn't fly.
He stuck that plane right in the side of that building.
Yeah, and it was like in Manhattan or somewhere. Yeah. It's like, yeah. what was he even doing? And that's what
his instructor died with him.
Yeah.
Okay, 14 killed when the Evansville basketball team went down on a charter plane in 1977.
Now that I remember because the Purple Aces there was a local kid Craig Heckerdorn that was among the 14.
And last on that list, Iowa State cross country team lost two coaches and three players in a small plane crash. But you notice the common theme in most of these small airplanes.
Yeah,
small airplane crashes.
And you know what the moral of this? Listen to Buddy Holly and don't get up in a plane.
And don't get in a plane in bad weather and foggy conditions. And there's no reason Kobe Bryant should be dead right now. No reason.
Shouldn't be.
And some of these other ones, were up in bad air and various other things happen.
Yeah. But some of our recently departed.
Yes.
Ones there. Yeah. Well, there was not that many since we've been on the air. Let's just kind of hit on some of the big ones. Robert Conrad.
Oh yeah, remember? Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West and Black Sheep Squadron.
Black Sheep Squadron.
He was always was the tough guy, and even though he was only 5 foot nothing,
went real big.
Had to wear platform shoes.
Yeah, went real big, like Alan Ladd.
Make sure his co-stars weren't weren't towering over him. He died at 83.
83, good decent life.
Yeah. Max von Sydow.
Exorcist,
yeah.
And lots of other stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't in Star Wars. He was in one of the Star Wars. 90 years old. 91. But he did a lot of things, played a lot of things. James Lipton, if you remember from Inside the Actor's Studio, where always, what I remember is Will Ferrell always did the impersonation of him, and he was kind of,
very serious. Dead.
He died at 93. Kelly Nakahara, Nurse Kelly from MASH.
Wow.
She was like one of the characters that never,
That was her last name, huh? No.
Yep, Nakahara. She, but she was always kind of like one of the main features, players, but didn't really get any recognition. Got ate up. Also, Bobby Batista.
From
one of the first
CNN anchor girls.
Back when they hired good looking women.
Real hot.
She kind of had those eyes that kind of like maybe like going, like could go cross eyed at any moment.
Which is kind of sexy.
Yeah, it was still hot. I mean, it was, when you're young 20s and stuff, in there. Now, what I'm going to throw in here, I'm going to throw this one in. You didn't want me to, but I'm going to because this one actually is for our one of our favorite listeners, Barry, the bass player, Keith Olsen, the bass player from the Music Machine. They were one day talk, died at 74. I do that because Barry's the bass man, and we hate to see bass players.
You got to remember the bass mods.
Remember the bass lines.
Bass mods.
And the only one was Cy Sperling of the Hair Club, if you remember Cy Sperling.
Club. Yeah, I remember the Hair Club.
Yeah, they buried his hair here just the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
I think he got cremated.
Oh, and they kept his hair?
Yeah, the hair wouldn't burn, so they just buried it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much it as far as passages.
Well, hey, I'll change to a whole different subject here.
Yeah.
Who do you think the five wealthiest presidents were, if you take their money in today's money?
Let's see.
Who would be number one?
Martin Van Buren.
Now you're not being facetious or disingenuous or something. Seriously.
Oh, I'd say maybe Donald Trump. Okay.
$3.1 billion. Real estate and inheritance is where he basically made his money. Who do you think the second richest president, if you go by today's money?
Hillary Clinton?
Now, Trump was our 45th president. This president was our 35th president.
35th. That would have been... Brain cramping. Because trying to think back.
Time's up. JFK.
JFK.
$1 billion.
$1 billion and...
But he inherited his dad's money, but he also had a lot of money through Jackie, his wife, because she was an oil heiress.
Yeah. I wonder if he was the inspiration behind Emerson, Lake and Palmer's Lucky Man.
Could have been.
He had white horses and ladies by the score, and at the end, the bullet had found him. His blood red. I mean, makes you kind of wonder. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. How's he lucky? He got killed.
Yeah, now, being dead ain't lucky. Okay, lucky. Now, number three.
Yeah.
Who would it be? Our first president, George Washington.
Oh, Georgie.
In today's money, he would be worth $525 million.
Well, and he's actually worth more because he's on all those dollar bills.
Oh, yeah. Well, his pen's on it. But property and over 300 slaves. You better have some money if you're trying to feed 300 slaves.
Yeah, well, or they just got to work. Yeah.
You got to feed them.
You got to feed them, yeah.
Gotta
Somebody's got to.
Number four, our third president, Thomas Jefferson. Obviously, big property owner and slaves, $212 million. But Thomas was in debt when he died. Okay, so you could say he maybe died broke. Now, number five would be the 26th president.
Let's see, that'd be Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy, okay, I was thinking maybe FDR. But
$125 million. But he was born rich. But right. The thing is, he lost a lot of money ranching in the Dakotas. Yeah. He was one of my favorite presidents because he set aside so much beautiful wilderness.
Yeah, he was he was kind of the president.
He was an honest guy. He wanted to do the right thing. He was either the mayor of Boston or New York, I forget. And he was so honest that he tried to break up the corrupt politicians. And they basically ran him out of town. That's before he became prez.
Yeah. Well, now, you know, if Hillary would have won in 2016, the Clintons would be the richest presidents. Because they'd be raking it in.
Yeah, after the presidency is where they got the money. Look at Barack Obama. He paid $15 million for that house.
Yeah.
He didn't make no $15 million when he was a press.
Exactly.
And I know she wasn't out making all kind of money like that.
No, you know, so it's like, so they're kind of on their way to becoming.
When you become the president, after you ain't the president, you will be rich. Because you got so much connection, so many bright books, this and memoir speeches. It's a big joke.
But
it's
if she'd have been elected, you would have had their estimate worth between $1 billion and $15 billion. There would have been no exact figure because they probably kept two sets of books.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah. But hey man, I got one for you here, man.
Yeah.
The customs border guys.
What a job they've got.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
a thankless job.
Yeah, they had a list of all the crazy stuff that they've confiscated at the border.
Mm-hmm.
And check this out. This is their top nine: live pigeons, mummy linen, live tarantulas, man disguised as a car seat, black market baloney, live songbirds, a whole pig's head, dead birds for pet food, and live tropical fish. So
it's like
people try to smuggle
black market. I'm the black market baloney kind of kind of gives
that?
Me. Like you just go over to go to the deli and get some here and pigeons.
What is black market baloney, man?
Go to New York. You can get all the pigeons you want.
I'm stuck on the man disguised as a car seat.
Yeah, it's like, kind of like, you know, kind of.
I need to see a picture of that.
Yeah, that one you kind of went out.
Now, the mummy linens, these things are supposedly like from 305 B.C.
Right, and they probably got, you know, historical value to them.
Oh, yeah, probably worth a lot of money.
That's, you know, kind of like ivory, you know, trying to.
I don't know, but that's the crazy custom border seizures this past year.
Oh, man, those are kind of crazy.
Oh, I got a good topic for you.
Is it?
Dangers
at the eatery. Yeah, what kind of dangers are we talking about here, Slappy?
Hey, KFC. You know, there's always something going on at KFC. if it ain't Popeyes or McDonald's,
it's KFC and their undercooked chicken.
But a customer threw food at the manager after returning a wrong order and not getting a new order fast enough. The employee working there said, after tossing the chicken, she flew the coop.
Yeah!
Okay. No arrest yet in that one.
No arrest yet.
Okay. Oh, here's one. Stockton, California. Okay. A Philly cheese sandwich shop. 44-year-old Monique Collins returned a half-eaten sandwich, and after their manager refused to give her a whole new one, she tore the place up. and was arrested for assault with a deadly weapon. They didn't say what the weapon was. I'm wondering, what was it? Was it like a wet bun or,
yeah, or a pickle? You know, yeah, I mean, what kind of a weapon? Man, you have to dig in and find that one
out. Yeah, we need to do some research to find out, what was the weapon?
Yeah. That kind of reminded me of a story when back in my youth, when my first job was at a local restaurant here. I won't say the name of the restaurant, but the mascot, he's got a curly hair on the top, and he's big. But we won't say who it was. I had to work the line with the cook. You know, I was kind of the apprentice cook. And we had the cook. He was this old guy, you know, kind of jaded and old and bitter. And the waitress come up back up and with a half-eaten sandwich. And she goes, customer says this thing's not cooked well enough. He goes, what are you going to do about it? And he goes, okay, takes it off, slaps it back, slaps it right back on the grill and just cooks it. Order up. And it was like, whoa.
That reminds me of that waitress when the guy went to the restaurant and said, waiter, what's this fly doing in my soup? She said, the backstroke.
Backstroke, ah!
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, in as far as, yeah, dangers in eatery, is this from the Oregonian. Chuck E. Cheese may be the place where a kid can be a kid, but not for one Portland, Oregon patron. It's where she got her hair, long hair, caught in a ticket machine. Her name, Ashrianna Scott, and she's suing Chuck E. Cheese for $1,000 for alleging that her hair was tangled for 20 minutes in a machine that counts tickets for prize redemption. In the lawsuit, she's saying that it caused injuries, discomfort, and headaches, and she wants a jury trial and a sign posted near the machine to warn others. The manager of the restaurant declined to comment on the lawsuit, but said machine's already got warning signs.
And the thing is, a jury trial for $1,000? Wow.
Yeah, but I'm thinking back when any of the kids were growing up, you actually had to take the tickets up to the counter. They counted them there.
Well, I hope she's I hope she's asking for her lawyer to be paid too. Otherwise, she's gonna come out losing on that deal.
Yeah, it could be. She could be. You know, maybe a lawyer could be. Could be a rat.
$1,000? What, they get you like a pair of glowing vampire teeth or a giant pencil?
I know.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
It's like, what do you think if you got your hair
cut? I think she undervalued herself there.
Yeah. My guess is she probably had long hair. But what do you think, like, if you're dangling in something, it's going to get caught?
Well, she obviously got low self-esteem issues because she only valued herself at
$1,000.
They're like, going to give me $1 million at least.
Yeah, I don't want a lot.
Chuck E. Cheese, you know? Where a kid can be a kid and a thought can be a thought.
And we can make sure you wear a wig.
Yeah, no doubt. But wow, that's kind of
what
amazing.
You got on the did you know?
Did you know? Well, let's see here. Here's one for 2 whole years. And this is actually from a place called Upworthy. For 2 years, Kaylee Wilkes nurtured a lovely green succulent in her kitchen window. She watered it, wiped dust off its leaves, and forbade anyone else from caring for it. Awesome. She said, it was full, beautiful coloring, just an overall perfect plant. Wow. She wrote in a Facebook post on February 28th. Until recently, she decided it was time to transplant it into a pretty new pot. Oh. So imagine her dismay when she pulled up the succulent and realized it was plastic, rooted in styrofoam with sand glued to the top.
Okay.
How did I not know this? She wondered. I feel like the last 2 years have been a lie.
She's a regular horticulturist or a dumiculturist.
Yeah, dumiculturist.
What the hell?
Yeah.
And you don't know you got a plastic plant growing there, lady?
Yeah, but the Home Depot came through and gave her some real succulents. So, did you know?
Did you know?
Yeah. But there was also, did you know that, the claw machines when you're, you know, kid, you know, you'd spend $30 in it to get a 50-cent bear out of it.
Right.
Well, there was an innovative jewel thief in Melbourne, Australia. He was caught on camera using a fishing rod to burgle a Versace necklace from a store window on February 24th. Australian Broadcasting Corporation news reported the thief carefully broke a hole in the window to avoid setting off the alarm and then spent 3 hours trying to cook this jewelry off of the thing, which only was worth about $800.
Wow.
So the store owner called the heist outrageous and courageous.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're sitting there for three hours in a window that's busted trying to... That's kind of ballsy.
How come nobody drove by and saw him doing that? Where's the cops? There are never no cops around when you need them or when something's going on.
Exactly. So, yeah, did you know? Any others did you know?
What you got?
I don't know, Aaron. Didn't you mention something about a study about flatulence?
Yeah, but that's coming.
Okay.
I like to save the best for last, you know.
Exactly.
But I will tell you this. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Maybe little Denny might want to get on this too, the producer.
Sure.
In your big supermarkets, over 4,000 products are made with this crop, or this crop is part of 4,000 products. But what? And it's also America's biggest crop.
What is cotton?
No.
What is hemp?
Ooh, no. What is corn? Corn is America's biggest crop.
Amazing.
Oh, you need to slap me for that. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's one for you. And I got two things here, and then we'll close it out.
Okay, yeah, we can close out here.
Okay. New North Carolina State Fair. A guy named Chris Kent won the largest watermelon contest. This watermelon was 327.5 pounds.
Whew.
It took four men to lift it up. Now, they paid him $6 a pound. So this watermelon was worth $1,965.
Or basically what that lady was asking for. She's lost.
Yeah, she should have just traded it for
watermelon. Yeah, traded for the watermelon. Hey, what the heck?
I mean, probably same ticket ratio anyway.
And I hate to end the story, the show, on a smelly note, but a study at Exeter University, and I find that name in this story,
They're
a little bit too cozy. A study at Exeter University claims smelling flatulence can stave off heart attacks, strokes, and even dementia. So basically, getting shit-faced isn't so bad after all. So that's all for me
today. The plus is that there's also the minuses. Also in England, in Branham, Leeds, on March 7th, firefighters were called to a farm to put out a fire in a large pig pen. At this farm, particular farm, the pigs wore pedometers, you know, those little things you walk with, so that they prove they're free. To prove that they're free range. I've never heard of a free range pig. Free range chickens.
Well, you have now.
Yeah, free range pigs. Well, they're theorizing that one of the pigs ate one of the pedometers, and that when it passed through the battery, kind of mixed with the pig poo, caused a spark, which caused a fire in the hay. So they had to come in.
Some kind of chemical reaction from the poop.
Yeah, so the bacon, you had some chickens in there, and you could have had bacon and eggs.
Wow. Oh. If the pigs would have burned up inside the barn or whatever, then you could have had pulled pork or something.
Pulled pork, oh.
I just want to say, that would be the best ever episode of Peppa Pig.
I think that's all for us. What about you, Doc?
I'm thinking, you know, yeah, we've got some other stuff.
Hopefully when we see you folks next time, we'll have a little happier story to talk about. But until then.
Hey, hold on. I have one quick announcement to make.
Okay, so a little public service announcement from 3D, the producer. Now, as we've all seen over the past week, that this information about the coronavirus has caused a lot of panic, bedlam, and all that nonsense, especially at retail stores. Retail workers, including yours truly, have been pushed to our limit not only with dwindling supplies, but rude customers, and just a general lack of calm and tranquility. So we ask that if you are going to the retail stores, please be considerate of other people. Do not bogart all the toilet paper, paper towels, and wipes. Be just a genuine person. Take what you need, not what you don't need.
Sounds like a personal damn problem to me. All right, till next time, we'll see ya.
Yeah, bye.
We are
out of here. Yeah.